no sound on that. I apologize for it. But we're going to start off tonight with Blessed Redeemer, page 508 in your hymnal. And on our monitors, let's stand to sing it tonight. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for, on that last, oh how I love him, oh how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find it? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Wonderful singing. Remain standing, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good evening. Man, it's still good to be saved on a Tuesday night, isn't it? Amen. It's good to see all of you tonight. Good to have our guest with us tonight. And what a great message we heard last night. Hope you've been gnawing on that all day. Amen. And meditating on it. And it's been a help to us each night. Sunday night, of course, last night and Sunday morning, Brother Cooper preached. And just been a good week of meeting. And appreciate the group being with us last night. They were a blessing to us. And we're glad to be back on a Tuesday night. Glad to have all of you here this evening. And we're going to get right into it. The choir's ready to sing, and preacher's ready to preach. We're ready to have church. And so just enjoy yourself. I hope you had a good day. If you didn't, then leave that outside. We're going to have a good night. Amen. So let's pray together, and after we pray, you can be seated. Again, every guest, we're so thankful to have you tonight, and I hope you'll stop by our welcome center on the way out if you're a guest with us, and make sure we've got your address, and that way we can keep in touch with you. So let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight with thankful hearts, we're so thankful we can come once again, gather around your people and gather around your word. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd speak to our hearts through the singing of songs, the preaching of the word of God. We thank you for every person here, every guest that has come back tonight. We just ask that you'd pour out a blessing upon them, that you'd be exalted and magnified in all things this evening. Father, we love you. I want to tell you again just how much we care about you because you first cared for us. So meet with us here tonight. Do what's most needed in this hour. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated.
Away with nothing to say, they just lost their dearest friend. All he had said, now he was dead. So this is the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead.
I'm glad there is a day coming, amen, when we're going to be able to see Him face to face. And I like this song, it says, just tell me the story of Jesus. Page 354, let's stand to sing it together and in our monitors tonight. In your hymnal, tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever.
Turn around, fellowship, as the choir comes down. Thank you. All right, let's get back to our seats. Let's go into that second verse. Fasting alone in the desert. Tell the days that are past. Fasting alone in the desert. Tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. On the last verse, ushers, you come. Tell the cross where they nailed him. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Wonderful singing. Remain standing, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Appreciate the good singing tonight, choir. Amen. And we're excited, again, to hear all the singing, but most importantly, excited to hear the preaching. And so we're going to receive the offering tonight. Everything that you give will go to the man of God. Appreciate him coming and being a part of our meeting. And I tell you what, we were talking about this. I was talking with Brother Cooper about this, and a lot of times people think, man, I sure wish I could travel like that and preach all over the place. And yeah, you do. We were talking the other night, and I asked Brother Cooper, I said, "Now, where's the craziest place you've ever had to stay at?" And he was telling me some places, and I was telling him some places. And I said, I preached for a missionary out west, and I stayed in a camper in the church parking lot, and I said, you couldn't even lay in the bed. You had to kind of be sideways. And he said, now, the restroom in the camper doesn't work. He said, you know, you need to go into the church if you need to go to the restroom. And I said, okay. And then I found out the church was in an old funeral home. And, boy, church is a spooky place at night anyway. But then, and he said, now, be careful when you leave the camper, because he said, we have had trouble with bears. So what do? You just stay in there and pray for the morning. Amen. That's that song they sing. That's what you're saying all night. Then comes the morning. Amen. And but you know what? That's just part of ministry. And man, if you're going to go be a blessing, it doesn't matter about the rest of it. But I promise you this, you stay in those airports and have to drive, and you'll think, that ain't for me. Amen. But I sure am glad for men that do it, that come be a blessing to churches like ours. And he helped us last night. He'll help us tonight. So let's take good care of him, okay? Let's pray together, and you can be seated. And then the trio is going to come sing for us. Brother Johnny Shoemaker, if you would pray for us.
Father in heaven, Lord, as we come to you once again, Lord, this evening, we want to thank you, Lord, for blessing us so much, Lord, with the preaching of your word, God. Father, I just pray, Lord, that each and every one that's here tonight, God, that you touch our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to pay attention on purpose. God, I pray for the man of God as he stands before us, Lord, that you'd anoint him from on high, give him the power, Lord, he needs, and Father, help him to be able to break the bread, Lord, that we could, you know, Father, pay attention and glean your word tonight, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you'd help us to be in your will, that all things happen, yes. God, be in order. Yes. Father, I pray, Lord, for this offering now. I pray, God, that you bless it and use it like only you can. Lord, be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll meet the one who gave His life for me. I will thank Him for the love that He gave me. And in 1,000 years or more, I'll reign with Him. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years will just be begun. The battle is over, and the victory is won. 10,000 years, and we've just begun. We will just begin to sing love's sweet story, and it's a song that the angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed by the blood of my Savior, and in 1,000 years or more, I'll praise His name. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we've just begun. All is over, and the victory is won. 10,000 years, and we've just begun. The battle is over, and the victory is won. 10,000 years, and we just begun.
There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. Weary land, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand.
This hand has led through shadows drear, and while it leads, I have no fear. 'twill lead me to that home where sin nor sorrow e'er can come. Trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land, and some sweet day strand, still guided by the unseen Jesus. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love. The ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Free at last.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that, don't you? Amen. I enjoy hearing good singing groups, and I've heard a lot of them, but I believe I like them about as good as any of them, don't you? And those are our folks, amen. Appreciate that. Brother Brandon sent me a text, said the trio, he said, if it's okay, we'd like to sing. I said, I heard y'all practice. I said, y'all did good, so go ahead and plan on it. So appreciate the good singing tonight, and looking forward to the preaching, amen. And those fellas that sang last night, one of them said, boy, I'm looking so forward to hearing him preach. He said, he's just got that voice. When you hear it, you know who it is. And I said, he sure does. And now as his voice is scratchy, you really know, don't you? And I appreciate him. I mentioned to you last night how much of a help he's been to me in ministry. And I believe that he's helped our church. And I know in his preaching he has. And so you listen to him, Brother Ouellette. If you'll come preach for us tonight, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you for coming back. God bless you. How many of you have been here every single night of this meeting? These nights I've been here, wonderful. How many have been here every night except one? That'd be the rest of you, okay? So you're doing good. I have some visitors tonight. Brother Steve and Becca Lixey used to be in our church. Brother Lixey had been at Heartland Baptist Bible College, traveled with a singing group there. And he was just a great help and a great blessing. He was singing with a group. Brother Paul Chappell was in, and he said, who is that kid singing tenor? And Brother Chappell discerned it was the will of God for Brother Lixey to go to West Coast Baptist College and sing for one of their groups. The trouble is the Lord forgot to tell Brother Lixey that. And he married a preacher's daughter from over in Jackson. We hired her to become the best secretary we'd ever had. She was only there a year, and she left everything so organized and so helpfully arranged that the young lady took her place, who'd never been a secretary, has been able to take it and do a great job and go forward from there. Their son, Alexander, is with him. And Brother Lixey left our church to move down here and sing for the Down East Boys. I was just looking them up, and you can get them on Amazon for free, and you can see pictures. He's the good-looking one in some of the pictures. In some of their pictures, he's not there because he's been with them how long? 2 years? 2 years. They do 160 meetings a year. And they're over in Burlington. I called and said, hey, I just was thinking about you because I'm down nearby. And they came over tonight, drove an hour and 10 minutes. So if you don't mind, I'm going to preach two sermons to try to make it worth their while. And I appreciate you being here. I love the church. Love being with your preacher. Mrs. McDaniel gave us a great meal tonight. It was, they're on this health food kick. So she said the food was healthy. And it was salad and white chili and regular chili, but there was cheese and sour cream and other things you could dress it up with just a little bit. It was wonderful. It had been good without it, but it was better with it. And enjoy being with the kids. Abigail informed me she is never getting married. Never getting married, never going to date a boy, never going to lunch with a boy, never going to go to dinner with a boy, never going to go to a ball game with a boy. She told me about that, right? She did tell, yeah, she did. She told me that. She was very definite about it. She said, I have made my decision. I'm not changing my mind. That's what she said. That's kind of unusual for women to be so certain, you know. Ladies say to me sometimes, are you sure? I say, men are always sure. We're not always right, but we're always sure. But I did hear about a fellow was kind of nerdy and not very attractive and socially awkward. And he was at an event one time. He saw this beautiful girl, and he said, ma'am, just let me talk to you for a minute. I know I'm not very good looking. I know I'm not charming. But he said, my father is 87 years old. He runs a company worth $200 million. And when he dies, I'm going to inherit it. And I'm wondering if I could talk to you. And she talked to him. She came over to the house. And sure enough, just about 3 weeks later, that beautiful woman became his stepmother. So, Abigail, there might be some reasons you want to reconsider, all right? Do me a little favor. Take out a piece of paper. If you don't have paper, do this in your mind, if you wouldn't mind. And I appreciate you. Some of you prayed for my voice. It's better tonight. It wasn't great at supper, but Ms. Lixie brought me some stuff that her boss, who does a lot of speaking, uses called throat coat. And I didn't get to take any of it, but I think just holding the box and setting it on the table made me feel better already. Take out a piece of paper and make a mark on the right side of the paper and make a similar mark on the left side of the paper. And be a check, a dot, an X. If you don't have paper, do it in your mind. Mark on the right side, mark on the left side. Now let the mark on the right side represent a really good Christian, the best Christian you know. On a scale of 1 to 10, this person's a 10. Let the mark on the left side represent a really lousy Christian, the worst Christian you know. Okay, you got that? Do it in your mind or do it on the paper. Now, without looking at anyone else's paper, even if you are a wife or a mother, would you make a mark on the paper where you think you are in your Christian life right now? And then would you open your Bibles to the book of Revelation and chapter 3? And as I believe your custom is, if you'd stand if you're able and willing to do so, as I read from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Appreciate the wonderful music. Thank you, trio. And thank you for being faithful, coming back tonight again. Thank you for the nice room. It's at the Best Western by the Haynes Mall. And the best thing about it, what I like in room, I like it if it has a bed. And it's got a bed. Then I like it if it has a restroom. And it has a restroom. I don't know why we call them restrooms. You don't rest. Canada, they call them washrooms. That makes some sense. And then I like it. It has a TV with Fox News on it. But what I really like, this one had an exercise room with a Precore elliptical machine. Best elliptical machine you can get is a Precore. Some of them have really hard-to-use, painful, awkward machines, and this was a good one. So I did my hour on the elliptical today, stood there for an hour, standing still, thought about moving the pedals. Going to want to work in it gradually, like I told you. But thank you so much, and thank you for being here tonight. The angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, verse 14, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works." He does. He knows mine. He knows yours. "That thou art neither cold nor hot, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Lord, thank you for letting me be at this wonderful church with my friend and his sweet family. Thank you for the privilege of being around these good people and seeing the work that you're doing in their midst. And Lord, I want to be a help, but I can be no more help to them than you empower and strengthen me. So Lord, I pray that you'd enable me by your Spirit, empower me to say what you want said, bind the devil and his demons, and keep them from snatching the good seed of your word out of the soil of our hearts. Help us to receive gladly what you have for us. Bless the preaching. Bless the invitation. We promise we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, please. The Lord Jesus comes to the church at Laodicea, and he makes a pronouncement to them. He makes a pronouncement about their relationship with him, and it doesn't sound too bad. He said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." That's not bad, is it? Lukewarm? When I was in school, I loved C's on my report card. C's didn't take near as much effort as A's and B's, and C's kept me from getting grounded and kept me from getting in trouble. What's wrong with a C? Little boy came home from school. His mama said, "Were you a good boy today?" And he thought a minute. He said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Were you a bad boy today?" And he thought a little bit longer. And he said, "Well, no, ma'am." She said, "Well, what kind of boy were you?" He said, "Well, mama, I guess today you'd say I was just a comfortable boy." But the Lord Jesus says, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this. I would like to use three young men if I could. Would you three young men there, would you be willing to help me? Come on up here. And I need one of you to stand right over there, kind of at the corner where the steps turn in at the edge of the white trim. And one of you over here there, and one right in front of the Lord's Supper table. All right? Just stand there and stand over here. Well, that's fine. Okay. So you're going over there. Now, oh, right here. Just get right over here. Right over here. Right there you go. Right there. Good. What is your name, sir?
Andrew,
very good. He got it right the first time, and we did not even practice. So that's good, Andrew. Andrew's going to represent a great Christian. On a scale of 1 to 10, Andrew is a 10. Andrew reads his Bible every day. He goes soul winning. He memorizes Scripture. He's separated from the world, doesn't drink or smoke or chew tobacco or say bad words or listen to bad music or go to movies. He is really, and I can tell by the look on your faces, I picked the wrong person. But we'll pretend Andrew's a great Christian. He's a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. And what is your name, sir? Ethan. I have a grandson named Ethan. All right. And Ethan's going to represent a lousy Christian. Ethan drinks and smokes and goes to nasty movies and listens to filthy music. And he hardly ever goes to church. He may go on Christmas and Easter, whether he needs it or not. He never prays unless he's about to die. You know, then ask the Lord to help him. When he does come to church, he not only doesn't put any money into the offering, the usher's watching to make sure he doesn't take anything out. But he's saved, like Lot. Nothing in the Bible to tell you Lot was a child of God. Every decision he had to make, he made the wrong one. But it says just Lot vexed his righteous soul. And what's your name?
Jason.
Now, Jason is going to represent a lukewarm Christian. Jason's not a bad guy. Jason usually goes to church. Now, maybe if there's an important ball game on Sunday night, he may not show, but he's usually in church. He'll even come out on a revival meeting on a Monday and Tuesday night to see some bald-headed, overweight guy from Michigan and see what's going on. Not a bad guy. He usually tithes. But sometimes, you know, if he's on vacation, you're in tithe on your vacation, right? I mean, if you don't eat at the restaurant, you don't pay for the meal, right? Try that with your mortgage. So I was out of the house 2 weeks. Here's a half payment. See how that works. He's pretty separated. Once in a while, he's watching something really cool on television, and then the language gets bad, and it's got indecent stuff on there, but he wants to see how it ends. But he's not bad. So now, next Sunday, you can either have Jason or Ethan join your church. You cannot have Andrew. I'm taking him home with me. After almost 42 years at the same church, I deserve one member like that. So, would you rather have somebody join your church next Sunday who comes some of the time or none of the time, who gives something or nothing, reads the Bible some or doesn't read the Bible at all? He'll read the Bible 3 or 4 days a week, may miss once in a while, but he reads it some, and he passes out some tracts, and he goes soul winning sometimes. Who would you rather have? You'd rather have Jason some of the time or Ethan none of the time? Who would you take? I'd take Jason. I'd reason like this. It's closer from where he is to where Andrew is than it is from where Ethan is to where Andrew is. And if he's in church, he's going to hear the Word of God, and he'll get better, and he can grow, and something's better than nothing. So Lord Jesus makes a pronouncement about this Laodicean church. He says, you're not cold, and you're not hot. He says, you're lukewarm. And then he makes a pronouncement not about their relationship to him, but about his reaction to their relationship. And here's what he says, I would thou wert cold or hot. Huh? I understand, Lord, saying to lukewarm church, I wish you were hot. Right. Why does he say, I wish you were cold? Suppose that I give the invitation tonight, and I say, I don't want you to displease the Lord, and it displeases him. If you're lukewarm, I want all you lukewarm Christians, you people put yourself somewhere in the middle on that paper. I want you to promise God from now on, you'll be a cold Christian. Would that be a good invitation? Think I'd be back? Think they'd send that into some paper, send it into the Baptist, Brother Chapel's Baptist, it's the Baptist Voice, or send it into the Sword of the Lord? We had a wonderful revival meeting with Brother R.B. Willett at the Currytown Baptist Church. 75 people committed themselves to become cold Christians. Why did he say that? Now, we say, well, you like to drink hot things and you like to drink cold things, but you don't like to drink things that are lukewarm. You like to eat hot food, you like to eat cold food, but you don't like to eat food that's lukewarm. Really? So what temperature do you eat your potato chips? You freeze them or fry them? I don't know about you, but I'm happy with a room temperature peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I drink water when I'm preaching, and it's best if the water not be real hot, or it may not be real cold at least, yeah, room temperature is good. Now, let me give you a little hint. When the Bible says something, you don't understand it, don't look at some commentary first. Don't look it up on the internet first. Just keep reading. So the Lord Jesus says, would thou wert cold or hot? So then, because thou art neither cold nor hot, but art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's really strong. That has the idea of vomiting. In other words, the Lord Jesus says, you lukewarm Christian make me sick to my stomach. You're not supposed to enjoy that. It's wrong to grieve the Spirit of God, Jason. Wow. But the next verse says, because thou sayest. Wait a minute. I bet she's about to tell us why he doesn't like their lukewarmness. So that because they're neither cold nor hot but lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth because thou sayest, and here we have not the pronouncement but the perception, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The self-perception of the Laodicean church is, I'm just fine, thank you. As a boy, I'd go to camp, great camp, wonderful preachers would come, and they'd always press you for decisions, and they would have you every night give a testimony and throw a piece of wood in the bonfire about the decision you'd made, and I knew what they were going to do. It was the first night, so I stood up and I gave this testimony. I was about 15 years old, and I said, I just want to say I'm glad I can start the week right with God. Wasn't that pious? You know what I was really saying? I ain't making no decisions this week. Don't you expect me to stand up and admit that I've had a bad attitude toward my parents, that I haven't been reading my Bible, that I've had some ungodly friends that have been a bad influence on me? Oh, no, no. I'm just fine, thank you. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. This is a wonderful church. I come to this church, I never worry, am I going to hear rock and roll music? I never worry the choir lady's going to be wearing, tank tops and short shorts. I never worry if they're going to change Bibles. Is the stand of the church going to change? It's a good church. And there are a lot of churches that aren't staying good. There's churches canceling their Sunday night services and changing Bibles and bringing rock and roll music into the church. And the teenagers don't look any different than the worldly teenagers sometimes. They look even worse. Yeah, and our independent fundamental Baptist churches, praise God, by and large, are keeping the right Bible. And they're still making preaching the main thing in the church house. And they're still after souls, and they're still living separate from the world. And you know what we tend to do? We tend to say, praise God, I am an independent fundamental Baptist. I use the right Bible. We have church on Sunday night. We have Jubilee and have services on Monday and Tuesday. We are separate from the world. We are not like them. And we aren't, and I'm glad we aren't. But did you know Jesus never told us to be better than them? Did you know God never told us to stay a step away from those folks that are bad? No, the Lord said, be holy for I am holy. And what happens to us, we get pretty impressed about where we are. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We don't really sing it like this, but here's what we kind of think. Revive him again. Fill his heart with your love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. It's my brother and my sister, but not me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Lord, he's the one. He's the one. Right over there. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one who needs revival. Because we're good. We're at church on Tuesday night. We were at church on Monday night. We were at church on Sunday. We put our tithe in the offering plate. We got our glove box and our pockets and purses filled with tracts, and we give them out some places. We're pretty good. The self-perception of the Laodicean church is, I'm not like them. And then the Lord Jesus says this, thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Watch this. And knowest not. This was not a hypocritical church. This was not a church that deliberately hid wickedness and pretended they were better than they were. No, 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 no. This was a church that really thought they were pretty well off. Knowest not. Thou art poor, wretched, blind, miserable, naked. Sometimes you hear people say, man, I had a wonderful time in my Bible reading today. Just a great time in my devotions. And we say, oh, that's nice. And the truth is, most of us don't know what they're talking about. We read our Bible, but it's sort of like eating cornflakes with no milk or sugar. Good for you, but not much fun. Man, we had a great prayer meeting. We have at our church, we have prayer meetings now on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock before the service, and Saturdays at 9 a.m., and then a men's prayer meeting Saturday night at 11 p.m., and people say, yeah, prayer meeting 11 o'clock at night? Isn't that a little inconvenient? No, really, what else were you going to be doing? It doesn't take away family time. It doesn't keep you from working, you know. The dishes are all washed. The kids are in bed. You just go to church and pray. And they think it's strange that we do something inconvenient. And we pray, you know. It's kind of like running through the list. We don't much have fellowship with God. We hear people say, wow, we went out soul winning and God was with us and the Spirit of God convicted these people and we got to give them the gospel. We go soul winning and a good night for us is four cards, three people not home, one not interested, and 45 minutes at Krispy Kreme. And knowest not that thou art poor, wretched, blind, miserable, naked. You know the Lord Jesus said to the Laodicean church, to the lukewarm Christian? He says, you don't even know what you're missing. See, here's what we think. We know in our churches that you start using drugs, you can ruin your life. You start drinking, you can lose your job and your family. You mess around with that person at work, and you can wind up losing your marriage. But we're kind of like this. I worked for Sears when I was in college down in Greenville, South Carolina, and I worked in the shoe department most of the time. Every spring they had a big tennis shoe sale, and they'd get brand new galvanized steel garbage cans, and they put the tennis shoes in the garbage cans by size. So all the sevens, seven and a halves, eight and a halves. And they gave me a crew one year of what we'd call developmentally delayed young man, and my job was to work with those guys, and we took all the shoes out of the boxes, tied them together, and put them in the right garbage can. So I'd make sure they got the sevens in the seven can and the nines in the nine can, and the three or four guys, one of them, the whole time he was standing there tying those shoes together, go like this. He never stood still. He just went back and forth. I thought, I wonder what he does when he sits down. I took him out to eat, and he sat down, and he went like this, always moving. One of those guys was a guy named Ernest. Ernest had beady little eyes and a receding chin, prominent nose. He looked kind of like a weasel. I'd give Ernest a ride home at night. He didn't live far out of the way from where I was going to go home. And Ernest got comfortable with me. And one night he's riding in the car with me. He says, did you ever want to get a house and make it look like people were in there and then set it on fire? Watch it burn. No, Ernest, it's not on my bucket list. I've been parasailing, I like that, and bungee jumping. I'd like to go hang gliding sometime, but no. And then I had this flash of insight. If I was a woman, I would have said it was intuition. But I don't have intuition, I'm a man. So I just had a flash of insight. And I looked at him and said, Ernest, you wouldn't ever want to do that with real people in the house, would you? And his beady little eyes gleamed. And his face lit up, and he said, I think it'd be fun. Now, Ernest knew, he'd been through enough counseling, that you really weren't supposed to put people in a house and burn them up. He'd been told often enough that he shouldn't do that. And if he'd come out and said, I want to burn a house down with people in it, he'd have gone back wherever it was he came from before he started putting tennis shoes in garbage cans at Sears. But he thought it'd be fun. We know you do that stuff, it messes you up. We know that you're not supposed to do that. Our young people know the world is bad. But you know what most of us are like? Most of us, we hear the music wafting across the air, and we listen to the laughter and the tinkling of glasses, and we see the bright lights flash, and we kind of think we have a restricted life, and our preacher's against everything. And the young people in our church, they don't get to do anything fun, and their parents monitor their cell phones and tell them when they have to come in, what they can watch on the television. And we know it's bad over there. We kind of think, man, if I could just do it for a little bit, I think it'd be fun. I'm here to remind you, the world, the flesh, and the devil don't have one good thing for the child of God. All his pearls are paste pearls, and all of his nickels are wood and nickels. The devil is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it, and it's all bad over there. But this church didn't even know what they were missing. So you have the pronouncement, not hot, not cold, lukewarm. And I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because of what you say. Now let me see if I can help you understand this. I'm upset with you. You make me sick to my stomach because you say I'm okay. So I go to Andrew and I say, Andrew, you are a poor Christian. You're not a good Christian at all. What's he going to say? I am so. I go to church twice a week. Well, twice a year. Well, once last year. Well, when I did go, I didn't take anything out of the offering. I was going to, but they were watching me. He'll say, I know I'm not right with God. I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And you go to Andrew. I'm sorry, Ethan. I called Ethan Andrew. You go to Ethan and say, you go to Andrew and you say, Andrew, you know, I want to encourage you to grow a little bit in this area. I want you to make progress. I want you to do this. He'll say, okay. He's listening. He's right with God. But you go to this guy and he says, I'm fine, thank you. I'm not like all those people. I'm not like the people that are backslidden and out of church and never come to the Jubilee. I'm not like those people who don't ever tithe. I'm not like those people who never read the Bible. I'm not like those people who always watch that terrible stuff on the television. I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good. He said, I'll tell you what my trouble with you is. You think you're so good, you don't listen to me. And when I speak, you're always directed to somebody else. And you don't take the message for yourself. And knowest not thou art poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Fellas, you did a great job. Would you give them a hand? You can go back to your seat. You see Brother Brandon afterwards, he'll give you each $20. Maybe. So then the Lord gives a prescription. Here's what he says to the lukewarm church. I counsel thee. I hope you go to your preacher for counsel. Hope you let him give you biblical advice to help you through the questions of life. But what if you could get counsel directly from the Lord Jesus? Would you take it? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Now here's the interesting thing. The Lord Jesus was dealing with the Laodiceans at their areas of perceived strength. In Laodicea, they had a banking industry they were proud of, and they were kind of the Switzerland of their day. They had a garment industry, made a beautiful white garment that they were very proud of. They had an ointment that was used for people when they had bad vision and helped them see better. And the Lord Jesus said, look, you don't need your material riches. You need spiritual riches. You don't need your fancy clothes. You need to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You don't need to see things from a human perspective. You need to see them from a spiritual and a biblical perspective. And then he says, get the gold and the white raiment and the ointment. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So here's the first part of the prescription. The Lord Jesus says, I want you to acknowledge your sin. Repent. I looked up that word. There's quite a discussion about it a while back. So I looked it up, and it's made of two other Greek words, the word to perceive and the word afterward. I'm driving to a meeting. My wife says, honey, I just heard from Kathy, who was watching the Weather Channel, that it's going to be really snowy and icy and the roads will be terrible and they're probably all closed down. Do you think you ought to cancel? And I will say, nah, I'll be okay. I'm just like that. Nah, it'll be all right. So I get on the road, and it's a sheet of ice. There's cars in the ditch everywhere. I can barely keep the thing on the road and out of the ditch myself. And I say, I'm going to die before I get there. I better get off this road and find a place to spend the night. I just repented. I perceived afterward. In other words, the Lord Jesus says, I want you to stop saying what you have been saying about your sin. And start saying what I say about your sin. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess means to say the same thing as. I've been in court when people were accepting plea bargains. And they were required by the criminal justice system to stand up, and here's what they called it. They had to elocute their crime. They had to tell the judge what they did. They had to acknowledge they were wrong. Now, there's a plea called nolo contendere, no contest, but this plea, if they wanted this deal, they had to say what they had done. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to say about your sin what I say about your sin. Hey, have you ever heard about somebody you thought was a really good Christian and you found out they're doing something terrible? And you thought, how could they do that? How can they be a teacher, a preacher, a bus worker, and have that terrible sin in their life? I'll tell you how. I figured it out. They do that the same way I do and you do what we do. Yeah. Oh, you say, Brother Lloyd, I don't do anything like that. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm not like them. I'm okay. I'm over here. My sins are acceptable sins. My sins are better sins than their sins. You're like the lady I heard about, a preacher told about. She came forward at an invitation under deep conviction for her soul. She's wearing a fancy mink coat and expensive rings and jewelry, and she had a real fancy hairdo. And the preacher said, "Why don't you to pray with me? Dear God, I confess I'm a dirty, rotten sinner." She didn't say anything. He thought she was overcome with emotion. He said, "It's all right, ma'am. Just say, Dear God, I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner," and she didn't say anything. And after a bit, he looked up, and her tears had dried, and her face was hard, and her expression was cold. And she said, "I'm not a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm a nice sinner." No nice sinners. No nice sin. And the Lord Jesus said, quit making excuses, quit rationalizing it, quit figuring, well, I'm not as bad as some people, and there's other people worse than me, and a lot of people in the Bible did more than I've done, and they still survived, and I can still survive. And start saying about your sin, not what you say, but what I say about your sin. Repent. Acknowledge your sin. And then there's the second part of the prescription. The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." Now, we use that verse sometimes to win people to Christ. I'm not upset if you do that, but that verse is not written to help people get saved. That verse is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Because it is written by the Lord Jesus to his own church, and it places Jesus Christ outside the door of his own church, and the church is on one side and Jesus is on the other side, and he's knocking. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man," it's as if he wonders if there's even one person who will listen to a thing he has to say. "If any man will hear my voice," I know you got your ball games to watch. I know that you got your golf matches. I know that you got your ladies' magazines. I know you got your cooking and your bowling and all of your fishing and all the soap operas you want to watch and all the texts you have to send and the Facebook posts that you have to make and all the stuff you got to keep up with. But is anybody interested in me? Does anybody want to talk to me? Does anybody want to spend any time with me? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him." Second part of the prescription, number one was acknowledge your sin. The second part is admit the Savior. Do you know how close you are to the Lord Jesus right now? You are as close as you want to be. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Used to be a man named William Randolph Hearst. He owned a bunch of newspapers. Had a fabulous collection of art. And one day he heard about a painting that he wanted to get. It was a good painting, but not super expensive. And he called in an agent that he used for this kind of work and said, "Get me that painting. I don't care if I get a good deal or not. Just get me the painting. I want to own that painting." After a while, the agent came back and he said, "Mr. Hearst, I found the painting." He said, "Good. Did you buy it?" He said, "No, sir. I cannot buy you that painting." He said, "Yeah, you can buy me that painting. I got plenty of money." He said, "No, Mr. Hearst, I can't buy you that painting." He said, "Yes, you can. Everybody's got their price." He said, "No, Mr. Hearst, I cannot buy you that painting." He said, "Why can't you buy it?" He said, "Because I found it crated up in the basement of a warehouse that you own. You bought it a long time ago with a bunch of other stuff." Here is a man sending somebody all around the world to look for something he already had. A lot of God's children think, "Well, if I could have a little more money, if I could be a little more worldly, if I could have a little nicer car, if I could live in a bigger house, if this, if that, then I'd be happy." And the truth is, everything you need, you have in Jesus Christ. I was in school in Detroit. I was born in South Carolina, graduated from high school and college there. But my dad ran the Detroit Rescue Mission for a good while when I was young. And I was in the seventh grade. There was a girl in my class named Rosemary. I thought she was cute. I thought she was the cutest girl in the whole class. If I'd have picked any girl to be my girlfriend, I'd have picked Rosemary. One day, Rosemary turned around. I was sitting behind her, and she had a piece of paper, and she pointed to a name on the paper. I did not recognize it. She said, "That's my boyfriend at home." I said, "That's nice." She pointed to the second name on a piece of paper, and she said, "That's my boyfriend at church." I said, "That's interesting. I didn't know that name either." She pointed to the third name on the paper. I recognized that name. It was my name. And she said, "That's who I want for my boyfriend at school." What are you laughing at? Anybody ever ask you to be their school boyfriend? I liked her. I thought she was cute. I thought she's the cutest girl in the whole class. If I'd picked any girl in the class for my girlfriend, I'd have picked Rosemary. And she pointed to my name. And by the way, in those days, I'd have seen her more than the church boyfriend at school, and I might have seen her more than the home boyfriend. And she pointed to my name, said, "That's who I want for my boyfriend at school." And I said, "I'm not interested." I didn't know much about it in the seventh grade. But I knew enough to know I didn't want to be somebody's part-time boyfriend. Do you want to walk down the hallway and people say, "There goes one of Rosemary's boyfriends"? I knew enough to know if I was going to be somebody's boyfriend, I wanted to be their all the time boyfriend. And you know, we do, we even have evangelists who say you need to make Jesus part of your life. No, 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 no. No, the Bible says when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Oh, we ought to be the most important part, that in all things He may have the preeminence. That means first in order and foremost in importance. But it says more than that. It says when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He's the one who died for us. He's the reason we're saved. He's the reason that we serve. He's the one whose gospel we proclaim. He's the one at whose knees we'll bow and cast our rewards to His feet and crown Him with glory and praise. He's everything in our lives. But we give Him a little part. A little part. We don't mean to do it, but it's kind of like this. We say, "Jesus, I talked to you on the way into work and we had a good time, but why don't you wait in the car now, because these guys I work with, they're sort of rough. And I got to go along to get along, and you know, if I don't laugh at some of their jokes, they're going to make fun of me, but I'll talk to you again at lunchtime. Lord Jesus, last night we had some folks from the church over. We had a great time. We fellowshiped, and the conversation honored you. I got some old friends over tonight, and they're not saved, and you might want to wait outside till after they leave. But I'll talk to you before I go to bed." I heard about a man in England. He was one of the wealthiest men in the British Isles. He had one son. His son was killed flying airplanes for the Royal Air Force in World War II. His wife died. When the rich man died, he had a fabulous collection of art. It was to be auctioned off by Sotheby's, the famous English auction house. It was unusual that so many pieces of such value would be auctioned at one time, and there's a lot of interest. Everybody gathered together, and the auctioneer banged the gavel down to the podium and got everybody's attention. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you being here. Now, according to the terms of the auction," he said, "this is the first item I must offer." And he reached down and pulled the cloth off of a painting that was sitting on an easel in front of the podium. It was a painting of the dead man's dead son. It was painted by an unknown artist. It was essentially worthless. The people there for the famous paintings would have cared more about the frame on that painting than the painting itself. But there was a man there who had been a servant to the rich man, and he loved him, and he loved his son. He thought, "I'd like to have that painting. I could remember my master. I could remember his son." He didn't have much money, but he bid a few dollars, and nobody else wanted it. He got the painting. And then the auctioneer said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I know this will be a surprise to you, but I must tell you that according to the terms of the estate, the auction's now over." Oh, there's a big hubbub then, and he had to bang and bang and bang and bang. And he said, "Because according to the terms of the estate, whoever purchased the picture of the son was to be given the entire collection." And as I understand the teaching of the Word of God, and particularly the teaching of the New Testament, the Bible says, "In him we have all things that pertain to life and godliness." Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. But if you have Jesus, you have everything. "I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd guide me by your Spirit as I extend the invitation. Help us act obediently. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question. Some folks are responding right away. That's wonderful. If God tells you to do that, you just come on. I wonder how many who are here would say, "Brother Ladd, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I certainly have room to improve. But when I put myself where I thought I was in my Christian life, I might not have been a 10, but I was on the high side of the piece of paper. I think the Lord, as I've heard the passage explained, would say I was a hot Christian. I think it's where I was. I think it's where I am. If you say that, would you hold your hand up high? I'm sure there's something like that. Thank you. God bless you. Most of us couldn't raise our hand. So that means if we're not hot, we're cold or lukewarm. And that leaves us with a choice. We can choose to stay where we are and make our Savior sick to his stomach. Or we can say, "Lord, I don't want to be there anymore." I wonder who'd say, "I don't want to stay where I am. I want to at least begin the journey from where I am to where God wants me to be. The Spirit of God spoke into my heart. I ought to do business with him tonight. Pray for me." If you say that, hold your hand up high. God bless you. Would you stand to your feet as I pray, Heavenly Father? Help, I pray, for those who have come to find a good meeting with you. And help for those who ought to come and have not done so, to do so in these moments. We'll praise you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Invitation continues. Folks are still coming. You come ahead and join them if you think God wants you to. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know you have a home in heaven. I want you to know God loves you. God loves you a whole lot. More than I could explain. A lot of us had relatives come over the holidays, and we were glad to have them come, and some of them stayed 3 or 4 days, maybe some stayed a week or two. But none of them came and moved in with us. God loves you so much, He wants to spend forever with you. He wants you to come to His home for all eternity. The alternative is to die and spend forever in hell. If you'd come tonight, we'd have somebody open a Bible. A man, if you're a man, or a boy would help you, and a lady. If you're a lady or a girl, they'd show you from the Word of God how to know that heaven is your home. Jesus is your Savior. All your sins can be forgiven. Folks praying at the altar. Some folks praying at their seat. That's fine. If God wants you to do that, you go ahead. If you need to do business, you come on. Still praying. We'll give them whatever time they need. Gives you time. If you haven't obeyed the Lord yet and you want to, you can still come. Sing that chorus with him. Coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Oh, open wide thine arms of love. Thank you that your arms are open wide. Your ear is attentive to our cry. And at what instant we turn from our wickedness, you turn from the judgment that you had felt was necessary, known was necessary for us. Thank you for these who have come. Continue, I pray, the work that you started. May the results be seen in our lives and in your work here in the days ahead. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. Let me thank you again for letting me come. There are still a few things out on the table. Some I've been sold out. If you want anything that I don't have, if you'll pay the regular price, I'll mail it to you and I'll pay the postage and I'll get back. Miss Lixie would tell you, every Wednesday I'd come back and give her some cards and she'd mail the stuff out and we'll do that again. But if you're interested, it's there. Thank you for the offering. The preacher said you're taking an offering, so I don't think I'm presumptuous by thanking you for that. Whatever it is more than I deserve. And less than my wife could spend on the grandchildren.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Appreciate the message. Amen. That's one of those that you don't really swing from the chandeliers. You more really want to just crawl under the pew, don't you? Because if we're real honest, and the thing about the cold Christian is that you get honest. The thing about the hot Christian is that you get honest. But it's usually when we're right here that we're not real honest with ourselves, not real honest with God. The thing about it is that He already knows. And so the only person you're really fooling is yourself.
And if we ever can get from here to there, I tell you what, the church can do something for God. Most churches are right here. You know, we're happy. We're paying the bills. We've got a few bus routes. We've got a few kids coming. See a few souls saved. We come to revival meeting, and but don't get us too much. Don't ask too much of us, because we got to have that balance, right? The problem is, I think too often we're off balance in the wrong direction. And so I appreciate the message tonight. Boy, I tell you what, help me. Didn't help you, help me. And so thankful for Brother Ouellette, and thankful for all of you being here. I know we've got several guests. We want to thank you. And I tell you, if you don't have a church home, we're going to do this again tomorrow night. And but if you've got a church home, you be in your church and back your pastor. And we appreciate you being with us tonight. And we're so thankful for what God's done this week and what God's doing. So you pray for us. We'll pray for you. And we'll close in prayer. And hope to see you again down the road.